Zion on the Bay is by the two dots. Okay, so
the
dynamic bay is by the two dots. Yeah. So we're up to the next one in the Mishnah, where if he does the avoda, then he passes it. Mechus of Godim, somebody who's missing the proper number or the proper type of the Godim. So for a Kohen Gadol, that means if he's doing the avoda with less than 8 clothes, except on Yom Kippur, of course, and for a Kohen Hadiyot, less than 4. Menorah. So where do we know that from? That if they do...
Double the amount of...
Yeah, the Kohen Gadol has 8 clothes. So he has, besides the 4 of the Kohen Hadiyot, he has an addition, the Chosh and the Ephod, the Me'il and the 6.
Oh, but some clothes, really.
Oh, well, okay, not all of them are clothing, per se. The Me'il is, the Ephod is, you're right, the Chosh and the 6 are more like ornaments, but whatever, they're considered the Godim. When we say the Godim, we mean generically. We mean generically all these
things. So you have the same number of real clothes.
No, because, again, because the Ephod is a real clothing, it's an apron, basically. And the meal is a real piece of clothing. It's a long cloak that goes over the chonet.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. So menolam. So where do we know that from? Amar Rav Avuah, Amar Rav Yechanan, umatu ba mishmei de Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. So Rav Avuah says in the name of Rav Yechanan, or some say that it's in the name of Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. Like this. So Amar Kro, because the pasuk says, and v'chagar to oisem avnei t'aron uvanav, you should bind up Aaron and his sons with the avnet, with the belt, and you should bind the mikbas, the turban, on their head. And those are two of their four, of the four begotten of a regular kohen, or two of the eight for the kohen gadol. And it shall be for them kohuna, the fact, the state of being a kohen, l'chukas olam, for an eternal law. Which means, Bizman Shabigdayim Aleim, Kohunasan Aleim, only when they have their begodim on them is it considered that their kohuna is on them, their status of being a kohen. Ein Bigdayim Aleim, Ein Kohunasan Aleim. If they don't have their begodim, if they're not wearing their begodim, then they're not considered to be a kohen. In a certain, exactly what it sounds like. They're not considered to be a kohen for purposes of the avoda unless they're wearing their proper clothes. And if not, then they're like a zor. And a zor, we've already established, if he does the avoda as mechalel. That's what it means.
Well, it should say they are
kohanim,
but they're not allowed to.
That's what it means. It's kohuna. If they're not wearing their proper begodim, then they don't have their kohuna. They're effectively considered zorim. And if they're zorim, then that's what it is. In order to be a kohen, they have to be wearing the proper begodim. So the question is, v'homo.
So the kohanim today are considered like.
No, they can't do the avoda, right? But as a matter of fact, actually, this does come up as a discussion in halakha regarding the question, what about, we know that in general, we know that on the face of it, you're not supposed to use a kohen to work for you or to use the services or whatever, because he's supposed to be a servant of Hashem and v'kidashtoi. The question is, again, nowadays, if they don't have the big kohuna, does that apply? And then there's a certain argument to be said based on argumata that no, as long as they're not wearing their big dikohona, they're not fully kohen. They are to a certain extent. For example, obviously they're joven without big dikohona. They still get the pity not ben money, right? But to a certain extent, we don't say that they can't do the avoda without big dikohona.
Accessory parts, they are kohen.
Yes, but for essential right. So
I have a question. This
portrait
mentions two of the four
begodim,
right?
Right, but the previous tukim, the previous tukim mentioned the other begodim as well. This is just the last portrait in the sequence. Right. Okay, fine. So the question.
That's a discussion that
does. So there is a discussion that comes up. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, v'homo hoch and nafka. So you're telling me that you learned this din from this pasuk? Mehosam nafka. You have a different pasuk from which you learned this concept. D'tanya, minayin l'shtuya yayin shim ovatkilo. We start out with a braisa like this. How do we know that if a kohen drank wine, which is another one of the ones who passes the avoda, how do we know that that's the case, that he passes the avoda if he does it? Because the pasuk says you shouldn't drink wine or shecha, which is strong wine, when you go into the oil mode or when you do the avoda, etc. And the pasuk continues to distinguish between the kodesh and the choil, implying that if you do the avoda when you're drunk, then it becomes choil. How do you distinguish between the kodesh, between an avoda that's valid and an avoda that's invalid, whether the kohen drank wine? Next,
drinking wine.
Well, wait. Next, the braisa continues. How do we know the same thing applies to a kohen who's mechusa begodim, again, who's missing the proper number or type of clothes, or who didn't wash his hands and feet? No. The answer is Talmud Lema, chukah chukah l'gzeira shava. We have a Gzera Shava, namely that it says chukah by the case of drinking wine. It says chukah sa'ilam. By mechus of godim, it also says chukah sa'ilam. So therefore, we have a Gzera Shava. So you have a Gzera Shava to say that a mechus of godim is like shsuya yayin in that regard, that it's mechal v'avoga. Why do you need the pasuk of the ha'yisalam kohuna l'chukah sa'ilam? The answer is imei hasam, yes. But if you only had that, if you only had that zera shava from shsuya yayin, have aminu, then you would think hani mili avodah zor chayv alei amisa. Then you would think, you know what kind of avodah that applies to? That is mechal al avodah is only the kind of avodah on which a zor is chayv misa. Now we've mentioned briefly before in the sugya about zor, the Gemara discusses it more extensively in other places. It actually brings from a Gemara in Yoma that even though a zor is not allowed to do any of the avodah, he's only chayev mitzah for ones that are called, first of all, has to be avodas matana, so only an avoda that involves putting something on the mizbeach, not avodas siluk, not an avoda that involves taking things off, like the ashes that they took off every day from the mizbeach. So a zor is not allowed to do it, but if he does, he's not chayev mitzah. Malkus maybe, but not chayev mitzah. Second of all, it has to be avodas matana. Second of all, it also has to be avodas tamah. It has to be that the last avoda in a sequence. There's no avoda after it using that object. For example, zrika, right? So for example, Zor is not allowed to do Kabbalah, but if he does, he's not chayav mitzvah for it because Kabbalah is followed by halacha and zrika.
If he does zrika,
then he would be chayav mitzvah. So you would think, if you only had the gzeira shava from shtsuya yayin, then you would think maybe only the type of avodas, that maybe only the type of avodah for which the chiyuv mista, namely again avodah, it's avodah tama and avodah matana, only those he would pass for the avodah. Aval avodah, if you only have the zera shava, aval avodah the enzor chayv aleihem mista. But regarding an avodah for which a zor is not chayv mista, maybe a mechus of godim emaloi, maybe a mechus of godim would not pass for it.
Second, why would you imply that if you just had the
if you just had the Gzeira Shava, then you would think that, what are we saying? The Shsuya Yayin is Mechal the Avoda, and we're deriving from that to Mechut the Begodim and Shloi Rechut Yodayim Braglayim. But we would say, since the Pasuk mentions that if they drink wine, they're Chayiv Nisa, so you would think it only applies to the type of things where we find in other contexts that a person is Chayiv Nisa for, namely a Zor. So we would say then that all three of those psalms, Shsuya Yayin, Rechut Yodayim Braglayim, Shloi Rechut Yodayim Braglayim, and Mechut Begodim, are only chayav misa and are mechal the avoda. Therefore, we would think that therefore they're the same type of thing as the ones that only the ones that are zor is chayav misa for.
So therefore,
kamash malon, that is why we also need the limud from the ha'yisalam kohuna, the chukas olam, that without the begodim, without the proper begodim, they're not considered a kohen, and therefore that means it's across the board. So even though it's not something that chayav, even though it's not something that zor chayav misa for, there's still mechal the avoda. The avoda is still possible.
And they consider
Zari. And right. Okay. Fine. Okay, so Ashkachan Mechus, fine. In that case, then we can ask the other way around. Fine. Then we see that the concept of Mechus Godim applies to all of the Avodas. Shsuya Yayin Manola. And then we have to ask the other way around. Well, how do we know that the Shsuya Yayin does apply across the board, not only to the ones where the Zari is Chayav Misa? Again, we have the Gzeira Shava, which teaches us that there's a certain similarity between Shsuya Yayin and Mechus Begodim. But Mechus Begodim, we have the additional pasuk with Man Shebigdei Malis. Shsuya Yayin, we have no such thing. So maybe the Shsuya Yayin are only Mechal Lavoida when it's the type of Lavoida that a Zor is Chayav before, like Zrika, or like Zrika, for example, but not like Kabbalah and not like Trumas Adeshin. The answer is after chukah chukah mechus begodim. Fine, we use the gzeira shava, the same gzeira shava as before. The chukah, we use it in that direction also. We can learn the shsuya yayin from the mechus begodim
before we use
the gzeira shava to say that the mechus begodim is chayev misa for certain types of avoda, and then we use the ha'yisalahem kohona for the rest of them. Now that we have the ha'yisalahem kohona, actually, we don't even need the gzeira shava for that direction at all. So we have it available to teach us in the other direction. That we know the Mechus of Godim, any avoda that he does, makes it is he's mechalal it. So now we can use the Gzeira Shava, Chokha Chokha, to say that the same thing applies to the Shsuya Yayin.
Before which direction were we using?
Before we tried to say, we learned from the Shsuya Yayin to the Mechus of Godim. Now we're saying the other way around. From the Mechus of Godim, where we know that he passes all avoda,
right,
then we know the same thing is true of Shsuya Yayin. So the question is, yes, but how is Rabbi Bohu, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, how is he disagreeing with the Braisa, which learned it from Olahavdil, from Yayin Vashay Faraltesh? He's learning it in that direction. from Shtur Yayin, we know it's Machos of Gadim. How are you arguing with it and bringing a different limud for it? The answer is, Mekamed Aleichem Gzeira Shavah. The answer is yes, but the Tana, what it is that we started with, we didn't yet know the Gzeira Shavah. When we started the discussion, we didn't yet know the Gzeira Shavah Choka. Therefore, we had to have a separate limud when it came to Machos of Gadim. Once we remember the Gzeira Shavah, then we can learn Mechutz of Gadim from Shtur Yayin using Gzeira Shavah, and therefore now so we have we learn that essential point from that, and then we learn that it applies to other avodas. We learn from the original limud of Chagata Yisamah.
The question is
how the Amoraim can disagree with the Tana of the Braisa that learns it from this Pasuk, and the answer is that we need both. The answer is we started by not knowing the Gzeira Shavah, therefore we had to find an independent limud. Once we have the Gzeira Shavah, though, then we still are able to use the limud to give us the extra details that we had before.
Even though the Tana
only mentioned the Gzeira Shavah, so the question still is: while Tana Machus of Gadim Kol Yalach from Shtur Yayin, yes, but didn't we say that the Tana is learning the Machus of Gadim from Shtur Yayin, whereas you are trying to learn the other way around? You're trying to learn the Shtur Yayin from Machus of Gadim. That just like the Machus of Gadim applies to all avodas, so the Shtur Yayin. The answer is Hachakama, yes, but what we mean is like this. Minayim shall a nechlechu shall a nachlech. Really, it's supposed to be. How do we know that we should not distinguish bein mechutz of gadim l'shtur yain v'shaloi mechutz yadayim v'aglayim? How do we know that there should be no distinction between one and the other? So we are learning. We're starting with mechutz of gadim, and then we're learning shtur yain from them. But what we're saying is, how do we know that there's no distinction whatsoever between them as far as what avodas it applies to? How do we know, just like the Mechus of Gadim, where we said from Vahoytalahim Tehuna, that it applies to all avodas, how do we know the same thing applies to the Shtur Yayin and the Shaloi Rechutz Yadayim V'Raglayim? So for that, we're saying, that is why we still use the Gzeira Shavah of the Braisa to teach us that. So ultimately what we're saying is, we sort of had three different limudim over here. One way of looking at it was we started with the concept of Mechus of Gadim, and then we had a pasuk by there, and then we used the Gzeira Shavah, the second limud, the Gzeira Shavah Chuka, to say that the same is true of the one who drank wine and the one who didn't wash his hands. Another way of looking at it is we started with the one who drank wine, where we learn that where the pasuk says lahavdil ben hakodesh ben hachol, that we have a pasuk there, the third pasuk, that says that somebody who drank wine is machal lavoida, and then we use the gzeira shavah chuka to learn from that to the other two.
Right.
So now what we're saying in the end is that we're sticking with the original way. We do use the gzeira shavah chuka, so they're not arguing with the Tana. The Tana who brings that gzeira shavah is only bringing part of the argument. We need the pasuk mentioned by Mechutz of Gadim, V'hoi Salahim Kohuna, to teach us that it applies to Mechutz of Gadim, and then we use the Gzeira Shavah Choka to apply that to the other two. The question then still remains is that there is still something that we're disagreeing with the Tana. Namely, the Tana had mentioned that in the Braisa, had mentioned that we know that that somebody who drank wine is Machal Lavoida from the Pasuk Lahavdol Ben Akodesh Ben Achol. Now, if we're learning this way, we have that Pasuk as extra. We're not using it because we know that they're Machal Lavoida based on the Gzeira Shavah, which in turn we're learning from the Chosef Gadim. So in that sense, we're arguing with the Tana. So the question is, Ela Lahavdil Lomali. So if you're going to understand everything that way, then the question is, what are we doing with the possible Lahavdil, which the Tana had used to argue that that we have an independent source that the Shtur Yayin on Machal de Avoda. We're now saying we don't need it because we're learning it from Mechutz of Gadim. The answer is L'chidra. Fine, but we can use that Pasuk to teach us the Rav. Namely, Rav Din, the Gemara discusses it in
We meaning the Gemara.
Yeah.
How can you change the way a Tana learns?
First of all, Rav himself is a Tana. He's able to argue with the Braisa.
But we
sometimes say that he's a Tana and he's able to argue with the Braisa. But we're saying, again, that the Tana was bringing only part of the argument. ultimately we're not using his full argument. We're not saying that we're learning from that we're not that we start out with Surya Yayan and learn the other two of it. So we said that we're saying that we don't need. We have the pasuk v'hoyselahem kohanu b'chokas olam, which is in connection with mechutz v'gadim. So ultimately, what we're saying is that we start by using that limud, and then we use the shava to learn Surya Yayin from it, rather than the other way around, rather than what the Tana had told us, which is we start out with Surya Yayin and learn the other two.
So it's still changing what his Tana's reasoning is.
Okay, but at least we're still using his zeta shava. Fine, we can't ignore his zeta shava altogether. But we can change his reasoning. However, then we have to figure out what are we going to do with that extra pasuk that he brought alahav do benachar to shabenachar.
Well, can we change his reasoning?
Apparently we can. Apparently because we can, because that's what we're doing over here.
Because of Rav.
So what we're doing is we're going to use it for Rav's din. Rav is going to explain to us what we learned from the pasuk alahav do benachar to shabenachar. Namely, nothing to do with avodah per se. It has to do with the fact that you're also not allowed to pask in halacha, which also involves distinguishing between the kodesh and the chol. You're not allowed to do that when you're drunk either. And the rav le'mokim amora le'miyom tov lechavrei, the rav would not set up an amora. In other words, he would not darshan in public where you had an amora announcing the drasha to the people. He would not do that from one day of Yom Tov to the next. In other words, from when he had the Yom Tov meal until the next day, he would not douse him during the rest of that day.
Because
Mishum Shichrus, because of drunkenness, because it's likely that he drank wine during his Yom Tov meal. Now, the Gemara explains in Christus, where the Gemara discusses this a little more extensively, that in and of itself, there's no problem with giving a shiur during that time when a person is drunk. However, Rav's shiurim were not just analyzing the Gemara or Brightus or whatever, you could actually derive practical halacha from his drushas, because that's how they were structured. And that you can't do. So that's what Rav is learning from the Lahabdo, Ben HaKodesh, or Ben HaChol, that you're not allowed to pass in halacha when you're drunk, and Rav's drushas amounted to pass in halacha.
But Suyayang is not being drunk.
It means he drank more than a certain amount of wine. So right, the truth is, I mean, Mephoshim talk about, if it was just that he had drunk, let's say, just a revius of wine is enough to pass a lakoyin from doing the avodah. But in Rav's case, if he'd only drunk a revius, sure, he wouldn't have to wait till the next day. All you need is mahalach mil. You need the amount of time it takes to walk a mil, which is 18 or 24 minutes, and then he'd be sober and good. But we don't know, not necessarily. He may have drank more, enough that he feels that the effect of the wine is still on him, and therefore he wouldn't darshan again until the next day. The point is, therefore, again, so we're using the Braisa of Zera Shava, but in the opposite direction in which the Braisa used it, not to say that it's a given that the Shesuya Yayin and Machal Lavoda, and from them we learn the Mechus of Godim and the Shalot of Chosu Dan Gaglaim, but rather the other way around. We start with the Mechus of Godim. We use V'hoi Salahem Kohona L'chokas Olam to say that they pass the Avodah, the Machal of the Avodah. We use the Zeta Shava Chukka to say the same thing applied to Suya Yayin and also to Shalot of Chosu Dan Gaglaim. And the Pasuk L'Horeis, the Pasuk L'Havdo, we're using for this other din that the concept of Suya Yayin also applies to Paskin and Halak. Okay. Fine.
The Tana would not agree.
The Tana learned differently, but to that extent we're allowed to that extent we're able to take what he said and flip it around. Fine. The question is akati, but even so you're gonna argue that you're learning the soul of mechus of Godim. You're arguing ultimately that you're learning it from v'hoyselahem kohona, but akati mehocha nafka. Still, you have to ask, are you learning it from this pasuk? Mehosam nafka. You have a different place where we say that we learn it from. Which actually Rashi points out, therefore, the question is that we have the next pasuk that we're going to bring over here already tells us about Mechus of Godim. So the question is, then why do we need, in other words, you would think the at face value the Gemara is asking, why do we need the pasuk v'hoyselahem kohona if we have another pasuk that the Gemara is going to bring now? Rashi explains it back to the other way around. Fine, if given that we need the pasuk v'hoyselahem kohona, but then what are you going to do with the next pasuk that we're going to bring now, which seems to also be a source for this concept? Namely, the pasuk says, the Nosnu Bnei Aaron HaKoyen, it says the sons of Aaron HaKoyen should place wood on the Mizbeach. Again, HaKoyen means the Kohuna, only when they're in their status of Kohuna. Limit our Kohen Gadol for Lavash Begdei Kohen Hedyet. This teaches us that if the Kohen Gadol wore only the four clothes of Kohen Hedyet, the Ovan, and he did the Avoda, Avidot the Psola, then as Avoda as possible. So what do we do? So if we have the pasuk for Lahem Kohuna, then what are we doing with that pasuk? The answer is Imei Hasam, yes. But if you only had the Vahos Lahem Kohuna, the first pasuk that we brought at the beginning of the sugya, Hava Amina Hani Mila Avoda De Ma'ach Kapara, then you would think maybe it only applies to an avoda which is essential to the kapara. For example, the Zrika, or for example, even
not
other things. In other words, Ma'akfa Kapara is another category of Avoda, meaning, in other words, for example, it's not just the Zrika. It's, for example, other things that lead towards the Zrika. The Shchita, okay, Shchita is Kher Bazar, fine. But Kabbalah, Halacha, all of those have to be done in order for the Zrika to take place. And all of those, therefore, are essential to the kapara, as opposed to the pasuk that we brought now, where it says that they should place fire on the Mizbeach. In a certain sense, that's not essential to the kapara, in the sense that there's already a fire on the Mizbeach. There's a fire that came down from Shemayim. We know that Afafisha is... No, for any carbon. The fire, what do you mean? Fire that came down on the Mizbeach in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu continued to be on the Mizbeach until the time of Menashe. So Menashe Melech Yehuda, and then it went away because Avodah already did. But up until that point, you always had a fire from Shemayim on the Mizbeach, and after that it was brought back, and the second Beis Hamikdash it also came, but in different shapes, whatever. So the whole concept that the Kohanim should have to put fire on the Mizbeach is only because we say even though there's fire in Hashemayim, mitzvah lahavi min ahayit, but it's not essential. The Kohanim can be burned without it. So therefore, so if you only had the pasuk v'hoyt alahem kohona, the first pasuk that he brought at the beginning of the sugya, then you would think that when is it possible if they wear too few clothes is only an avoda that's essential for the kapara, only an avoda without which something is not going to happen. Aval avoda l'zolay ma'akra kapara, but putting the fire on the mizbeach, which is not essential to the kapara because you already have the fire there min hashamayim, maybe chisur v'gadim, maybe mechusur v'gadim should not possible it. And therefore we need an extra pasuk to tell us that even in that case, it also passes it. If you didn't have the second pasuk, you wouldn't know it applies to such avodas, like putting fire on the mizbeach.
You would say
it only applies to essential avodas. Right. And Rashi says, and so why can't we say we would only have the pasuk with Nosim and Aaron HaKoyen, and we would learn from that that it applies to those, how much more so it would apply. The answer is, Rashi says, because this pasuk with Nosim and Aaron HaKoyen doesn't say anything about the begodim at all. You would have no idea that in order to be a Koyen, he needs to be begodim. The other pasuk, the Hoysalahem Kahuna, is talking about when they're putting on the clothes. So therefore, that's what makes the link between kahuna and clothing. Without that, you don't have any source for that. So you definitely need that pasuk. But then in addition, you need the second pasuk akoyin to tell us that the same concept applies even to avodas that in and of themselves wouldn't have had to be done, like putting fire on the mizbeach, because there's already fire there. Okay.
The first pasuk talks about
The first pasuk talks about the begadim. Yeah, before gauta is an avnei to iron and bono, we should put those avnei and the boys on them. And then it says, v'hoi salam kohona, then it'll be their kohona.
So there is
a connection.
Right. The second
does. The second does, yeah.
Okay,
fine.
Which
partial is mentioned? V'hoi salam kohona, the v'hoi salam kohona is from Tetzaveh, where it describes, describes how things are supposed to be done during the 7 days of Elohim. The other part, if we're not from an hour and a kohen, is at the beginning of a yikra, describing the normal procedures of a kohen island. Okay, fine. V'akasi mehocha nafka. Still, what do you mean you're learning it from V'hoi Salahem Kohona, and secondarily you're learning it from V'nosim Bnei Aaron HaKohen, Mehosim Nafka, on the face of it you have yet another pasuk that tells us this idea. So again, the question is, what are we going to do with that extra pasuk? Namely, the pasuk continues, V'orchu Bnei Aaron HaKohen Emes and Estachem V'gomer, the pasuk continues, also in Vayikra there, it's the next pasuk, that Bnei Aaron the Kohenim should place the pieces of the Ola on the Mizbeach. And again, it says HaKoyanim. The word HaKoyanim is extra. And therefore, we learn from it, HaKoyanim B'Kohona. And again, it means the Koyanim have to be in their status of Kohona, meaning, again, that they need the Begodim, as we said before. Mikam the Koyan Hedyet Shalavash Greg the Koyan Gadol Ho'ovad Avodas Solah. And we're saying from there, we learn that if a Koyan Hedyet has too many clothes, if he wears the clothing of a Koyan Gadol and does the Avodah, then his Avodah is possible. So what are we doing with that extra pasuk? If we already know the concept from V'hoi Salahem Kohona, then what are we doing with this extra pasuk? What are we learning from it? The answer is Imei Hosam, yes, but if we only had the pasuk Vahoytzalehem Kohuna, Hava Amini Hanim Yudish Kshistu, then you would think, okay, you know what passels Avodah? When they have too few clothing, right, a Kohen Gadol who does it with less than 8 Begadim, or a Kohen Hadyut who does it with less than 4. You wouldn't know that if they had extra clothing that it also passels Avodah, like the Kohen Hadyut wearing the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Kavash Malon, that is the Chiddush that even in that case, that even in that case, he passels it. So that's it. So we need all these various stuff. We need the original pasuk to teach us the basic concept that chisur begadim passel zavodah, and to teach us that without the begadim, without the proper begadim, they're not kohenim. We need a second one to teach us the same thing applies also. Well, they are chayv mitzvah, I think, yeah, but be that as it may, they passel zavodah. We need another one to teach us that the same thing is true not only for essential avodas, but even for inessential avodas, like putting fire on the mizbeach. And we need yet another one to teach us about to teach us yisur that if you wear too many clothes, then it's also not good. Okay. Fine. So now we're going to talk about some dinim that have to do. What? Yeah. So now we're going to talk about some dinim that have to do with the clothes of the kohen. Fine. Hoyu merusholin. If the clothes of the kohen were merusholin, which merusholin Rashi says means they're dragging on the floor. Merusholin, the root of the word, the root of the word means careless. It's lashon hakodesh. In modern Hebrew, also they have the word merushal means like a person is like dressed carelessly or acting carelessly or whatever. Rashlanut means carelessness. Yeah, it means carelessness or whatever. So yeah. So here it means like they're Rashi learns that they're dragging on the floor, because Rashi learns actually that what it's supposed to be is they're supposed to exactly reach the floor.
Without touching it.
The Rambam learns a little bit differently. The Rambam learns that they're supposed to reach just above his heel. Some of this is, we're talking about the ksonis, we're talking about the long shirt-like garment that they wore has to reach that length. Some of them, of course, have explained that there's not really a contradiction. What it means is in print is with... No, not in any... What kind of knees? Just above his ankles.
Oh,
just above his ankles, his heels, whatever. But, But some of them, of course, should say that actually it's not really a contradiction. Basically, when they first measure him for it, it's supposed to reach the floor. When he wears it, inevitably, then it, you know, it rides up a little bit, so, you know, it has to go around the body, and therefore it lifts up a tiny bit, and yeah. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so if they were merusholin, if they were too long, so they're dragging on the floor, or mesulokin, or they were too short, so they're too high above the floor, meshuchokim, or if they were worn out, so they're old, they're worn, they're not actually torn, which we're going to see next, but they're just worn. The avad, and the kohen does the avodah, avodasik sheira, even though those aren't the right things to do, nevertheless the avodah is kosher, all those things are only the mitzvah, not lack.
Does that mean if there's a hole
in it? A hole in it, wait. Lava shnei mechnasayim, shnei avnetim. What if he wore, though, two mechnasayim? So you have one of the four big kohona, or eight for the kohen gadol, is the mechnasayim, the pants. That they wore.
So
the Kohen Hadyut and Kohen Gadol wear them.
Okay.
I just said they're part of the four begadim for a Kohen Hadyut and part of the eight begadim for a Kohen Gadol. So if he wears two pairs of mechnasayim or shnei avnetim, or he wears two belts, one on top of the other. He wears one pair and then on top of it another belt. Or he wears two avnetim. Choser achas yasser achas. Or if he's missing any one of the clothing, or if he has anything extra, any other clothing. So like besides the four big dekohona, let's say he additionally wears some other piece of clothing. Or he has a plaster or a bandage on a wound on his body, and therefore that's a problem because it creates a chafitza between his body and the begadim.
There shouldn't be any chafitza.
We're going to talk about it more tomorrow, about the Shem. Or if his clothes were dirty. Rashi says betitch, if they were dirty, let's say, with mud. Mepharshim say the same thing would also be if they were dirty with blood, let's say. Or anything else. Or if they were ripped, for avad, and he did the avodah, in all those cases, avodah of solo, in all those cases, his avodah is possible.
And he's chayav or not? Chayav karev?
I don't know if he's necessarily chayav. No, karev is definitely not. He may be chayav mitzvah for them, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that, but whatever it is, actually, a couple of these details, it's interesting. First of all, Rashi learns that the choser achas and the yasser achas, again, means that if he has, even any, aside from the four big dekohona, if he has some other piece of clothing that has nothing to do with the big dekohona. Imagine, for example, so what are the four big dekohona for a kohen hadyut? He has pants, he has a ksonis, which is a long shirt that, again, reaches his ankles or the floor or whatever, he has a belt, and he has a turban. Let's say, for example,
two pairs of pants.
No, what's it? One pair of pants.
One pair of pants,
one long shirt that reaches the floor, one belt, and one turban. So let's say, according to Rashi, he were to wear a fifth piece of clothing.
You're not allowed to have a tissue?
No.
That's how they cut them?
Okay, so then let's say, according to Rashi, he were to wear a talus cotton. According to Rashi, that would be Yitur Begadim. He would also pass the Zavodim. The Rambam seems to learn, and many of them from understand the Rambam this way, that no. Having an extra piece of clothing that has nothing to do with the Big Day Kahuna would not necessarily pass the Avodah. The examples we gave over here, he's wearing two of one of the Big Day Kahuna. He's wearing two pairs of pants, for example, where pants are one of the Big Day Kahuna, or two belts where the belt is one of the Big Day Kahuna, that would pass the Avodah. But if, let's say, he would wear tissues or what have you, that, according to the Rambam, wouldn't necessarily pass the Avodah. Okay, you have different acronyms, talk about different possibilities, including maybe the Rambam would say
so
it's not possible. Yeah,
the
Yitzchak Godim
would pass
off, according to the Rambam,
but
others not. But you have, I think Rabzolva Soloveitchik, I think it is, talks about that maybe the Rambam would agree that it passes it, but on different grounds than Yitzchak Godim. Maybe it would be a matter of Chassitza, which means, let's say, for example, let's say he was wearing it on the outside of the Big Zikorona. Let's say instead of wearing Chassitza under his Ksonis, let's say he would wear it over. So if it's a matter of Yitzchak Godim, the Rambam would hold it's not a problem. If it's a problem, the Rashi would hold it, yes. If it's a matter of Chassitza, it's not a Chassitza.
No.
So then, right. Because it's outside, right. Okay.
Right.
So anyway, so there's that. Also, as far as this business about when we're saying they're ripped, the Rambam actually mentions in two different places. In one place, the Rambam says that if the Kohen does the Avodah with his clothes ripped, then he passes it. In another place, the Rambam says he does not passel it. So what is it?
Is he allowed to get into the Avnara with his clothes ripped?
No, you're not supposed to go in the first place with his clothes ripped, but if he did. So in one place, the Rambam writes that he passels the Avodah, in another place, not. So the Radvaz explains in one of his Chovas, now, the Rambam would distinguish between, are they ripped, like in one place, like for example at the mess, let's say he tore Kriya for a mess, that kind, he's not allowed to do that, but he's not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to rip the Big Day Kahuna. But if he did, the Avodah would still be kosher. As opposed to, as if it's ripped, when we're saying over here, ripped, Stam in other places, as it's just ripped in various places, you asked him before about a hole, same idea, then that would topple the Avodah. That's how the Radvaz
would not.
I don't know, but apparently it's a difference. Maybe it's that. I don't know. It might be a difference between one place and many places. It seems to be what the Radvaz is saying. Okay. Anyway, the point is, okay, so fine. So we have two different categories. We have things where he shouldn't do them, but the Avodah is still kosher. If his clothes are too long, too short, or worn out, versus if he wore two of the same clothing, or if he's missing one or has an extra one, according to Rashi, any other clothing, according to that I'm an extra one or missing one of the Big Day Kahuna, or if he has something, if there's a chitza between his body and the clothing, or if his clothes were dirty or torn. Okay. So now we're going to discuss two of them. We're going to focus on two of these, the too long and the too short. We're going to analyze those in detail. Amar of Yehuda Mishmur. If the clothing is too long, if it drags on the floor, then the avodah is kosher. Mesulokin, but if they're too short and they're too far off the floor, psulin, then the avodah is possible. The question is, we just said a brisa about tiny mesulokin sheirin. We just said a brisa that if they're too short, it's kosher. Amar Rami bar Chama like kasha can shesilka naide avne. So Rami bar Chama says it's not a contradiction. One is talking about where the clothing is essentially the right length. But what he did is he shortened it using the belt. Like he tucked some of it in under his belt and then put the belt, and he folded it up like over his waist or whatever, and then put the belt on over it. So now it ends up being shorter than it should.
That would be
cautious. Kanda left no me ikra klal, whereas what does Shmuel say, and that's possible, is where the clothing, where the piece of clothing is too short to begin with.
Really too short.
Really too short, yeah.
Not that he pulled it up,
right. Okay. That's according to Shmuel. Rav Omer, Rav disagrees and says, no, Echad Zeb Tulin, in either case, it's possible. The halacha in Dinah Yisra Beheter is usually like Rav, and so it is over here.
So it's always possible.
Yeah, according to him, yeah. So that now we're going to analyze it further. Rav Huna Ikla La'Argiza. One time Rav Huna visited a place called Argiza. Ramalei Ba'ush Bezichne, and the son of his host asked him, pointed out the following contradiction. The son of his host, apparently, was a Talmud Chacham, and he knew these brayos and whatever, so he asked him a contradiction. Mi Amar Shmuel Murushalim Kshirin Masalakim Solin. How could we say that Shmuel said that if a clothing is too long, if it's dragging on the floor, then the Avodah is kosher, but if it's too short, then it's possible? Vatanim is halakim ksherim. But we learn in the Braisa before that it's too short, it's kosher. So the same question that we asked before. Amalei, so Rav Huna tells him, bar mi no dahi, never mind that. In other words, that's not a good question, because the Shani Rami Bachama, because you already have Rami Bachama's answer that there's a difference whether it's essentially too short or whether it's that he shortened it by tying it up with a belt. Okay, El of the Rav Kasha, but no, then the question would really be, I'm Rav. How can Rav say that it's possible, if it's too short, or if it's too long, where the Braisa had said where the Braisa had said that that either way is kosher? Now, of course, I mean the Gemara could have easily answered that Rav
is kosher.
That no, that we learned in the Braisa that either way, Merushal and Merusolokin are both kosher, and Rav is saying they're both possible. Now, of course, the Gemara could have taken the easy way out and say Rav is a Tana, and he can argue with the Braisa, but the Gemara would rather not do that unless we have to. So, v'chi teiman. Well, that's true, but and the halacha is usually like a braisa like that, so there is that. But yeah, okay. V'chi teiman. So you're gonna ask. So now maybe you would think to argue, my merusholin. What do you mean when we say in the braisa that it's too long? Would mean it was too long, but then shesilkanai de'admit. That maybe what you did is misalokinai the avnet. Maybe he shortened it using the avnet,
making the other ones too long.
No, in other words, if it started out the ksonis is too long.
Yeah.
So what? So the braisa. So the Rav would be saying as long as he leaves it like that, dragging on the floor, it's possible. What would the braisa mean when it says it's kosher? Would mean, let's say he shortened it using the avnet. He folded it up and then tied it in place with the avnet. Yeah. So now it's the right length. Now it's not dragging on the floor. And that the braisa would be saying it's kosher. Rav, again, we would say that Rav maybe is saying it's possible if you didn't do that, if it's still dragging on the floor, if you left it dragging on the floor, whereas the Braisa would be saying it is possible like that. However, if you shorten it using the Avnet, then it's kosher, because you would argue the Avnet Megas Agiz, because what you would argue in that case is shortening it with the Avnet is effectively like cutting off that part of the cloth, and therefore it's as if...
Lifting
it up using the avnet is the equivalent of cutting it. We would say that therefore now the clothing is not too long. There it's considered as if the extra part was cut off. Because you know, in general, I mean, if you had, let's say you didn't do that with the avnet, he put on one of the bigger kahuna and found it's too long for him. So if you were to go to a tailor and have a piece of it cut off,
suspender.
Of course. What?
You take a suspender.
No, well, your Kohenim didn't wear suspenders, but whatever. The point is, obviously, by the same logic as we would say that if you were to go to a tailor and have him actually shorten it, then obviously it would be kosher.
Right.
By the same logic, we could argue that maybe the Braisa is saying it's kosher if he holds it up with the Avnet. The problem with that is, Elam is Mesulokin kosher. Fine, you can answer it that way. But you have a problem with the Mesulokin. You have a contradiction where the Braisa said Mesulokin, where they're too short, is kosher. And Rav says it's possible, and obviously there you can't say that it means when is it possible Mesulokin if he shortened it with the Avnet? Because again, if we're going to say that in the first case shortening it with the Avnet is the equivalent of cutting it off, well then in the second case shortening it with the Avnet would also be the equivalent of cutting it off. So Rav would be consistent in saying it's possible, but how could the Braisa say it's kosher?
So
you have a problem.
In a
no, but that's the question. So what does it mean? What does it mean? So what does it mean? So what does it mean, Mr. Lockin? If it means it's too short to begin with, then why is the Braisa saying it's kosher? And if it's talking about it's essentially long enough, but he made it too short by hitching it up with the Avnet, then we see from the previous case that Rav would consider that part as being cut off. So in that case, then why is the Braisa saying it's kosher?
But in that case, then
the Braisa would have to, again, the Braisa which said that Merusholin, when they're too long, is kosher, how would we reconcile that with Rav? We would say if it's left too long, it's possible, but if it's shortened with the Avnet, it's kosher. That's how Rav wouldn't contradict the Braisa. But if you say that what's hitched up with the Avnet, it's folded up under the Avnet, it's considered as if it was cut off. The same thing would be true when you come to Mr. Lockett. And then the Braisa would have to say it's possible, which it's not. Incidentally, before we continue, as I mentioned, I mentioned on the WhatsApp, I don't know if either of you saw it, that some of this discussion over here actually relates to the question about tzitzis. Now, we know that the din with tzitzis is as follows. if you have, for example, the tips are supposed to be a certain minimum distance, certain minimum and a certain maximum distance from the corner. Let's say you put them on, and later on the corner gets creased, and now the distance from the tzitzis to the corner is less than it was before. The tzitzis are still kosher.
Yeah.
Now, why is that? If we're saying over here in the Gemara that what's creased or what's folded is considered as if it didn't exist.
Yeah,
same difference. The point is, if it got permanently folded like this, it would still be kosher.
It would still be kosher.
Yeah. So the question is why, if we're saying in all Gemara over here that corner is Rav, and my halacha is like Rav, when it's folded up, it's considered like a big kahuna. So an answer that's given is not so much that big kahuna are different, but with the big kahuna, the pasuk is focusing on that they need to be the proper length for him. With tzitzis, it's a different thing. We learn it from that it has to be al arba kantos, so that has to be on the four corners and not, like, so to speak, under the corners, which would be if it was close to the end. So therefore, the difference when it comes to the big kahuna, what's folded up is not part of his measurement. Therefore, it's not the length of his body as opposed to the tzitzis. That doesn't matter. Now there is a different thing when it comes to tzitzis. The Alter Rebbe points out, no tzitzis in the siddur, that you have to be careful when you're wearing tzitzis that they remain flat on your body, because whatever of them gets creased horizontally doesn't count to the minimum width of the tzitzis. The tzitzis are supposed to be an amma wide. The tzitzis are supposed to be an amma wide end to end.
The tzitzis you're talking about.
The beged is supposed to be an amma wide, and if it gets creased as you're wearing it, then it's not a full amma wide. Again, that fits with our Gemara over here.
You never put it in the pants, really.
No, well, what it means is, you know, that's why people wear a bendel even on weekdays sometimes, in order to keep their tzitzis flat against their body. No, you can still tuck it into your
below the bender,
but the point is that therefore you have a minimum width of it that is that's flat across, that's flat along the bottom. An amma. Yeah. So that's an amma, it's supposed to be, yeah. Okay.
An amma
is from it depends who you ask. It's anywhere between 18 and 24 inches. Yes, the full width. All right, anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So again, the question is that how are you going to understand the Braisa, which says that if the Begadim are too short, then B'dievet is Avoda is kosher, and Rav is saying it's possible. Amar Rav Zera, Rav Chada Tani. So Rav Zera says, what it is it's not that Rav taught two different dinim, one about Mirusholin and one about Mesalakin. Rather, Rav taught his din as follows. Mirusholin Shestokan Aide Avnet, if the clothing was too long, and then you shortened it using the avnet, ksherin, then they are kosher, because again, that part that's folded up under the avnet is considered like it was cut off. So therefore, now you have it's his proper size. But misulokin, even if it was done by the avnet, would be possible, because again, the part that's folded up, the part that's creased, is considered as though it's gone, and now therefore it's too short.
Mirusholin,
if they're too long, but silkenai the avnet, but you shorten them by folding them under the avnet, then ksherin, because we consider that extra part as if it was cut off. But the flip side, if the begadim were the right size for him, and then he shortened them too much using the avnet, so he folded some of them under the avnet, right, then it would be possible. Okay.
So there's no contradiction,
right? Because the braisa is talking about where the braisa is talking about. This is Rav's version of the Braisa. Rav's version of the Braisa would be that when do we say Mitzalokin is kosher? When the begad is folded, right? Then we will say, as opposed to shortened, then it will be possible according to Rav, right?
And according to the...
So that's Rav's version of the Braisa. So therefore, Rav is not contradicting the Braisa, because he has a different version of it. That when it's that there's a case where Mesalakin is kosher, and there's a case where it's possible. Fine. I'm going to view me.
So Mesalakin really is not Mesalakin, it's Mirushalim Shisilkan.
That's what we're saying. That would be the case where it's kosher.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to view me immediately. Mirushalim Shalaisilkan Tanoi. Actually, this question about if a beggar is too long and you didn't shorten it by folding it under the avnet, we can see that that's actually a Machloikas Tanoi, as we can learn from the Dinim of Tzitzis. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa.
So what's the question?
It's not a question. It's a statement that you should know. This issue about what if the Kohen left his beged too long and did not shorten it by folding it under the avnet, it's actually machlokas tanoim, whether it would be possible. Do we consider that extra part as if it didn't exist? If it's folded, then Rav said it's considered as if it doesn't exist. But now we're talking about if it wasn't folded. If it wasn't folded, if it's left to drag.
Right.
So the Tanya, we learn in a Brisa, when the Pasuk says, we're going to tzitzis, our Arba Kantra is called, the Pasuk says you have to put tzitzis on the four corners of your garment. What does it mean when you're Arba? It means below Shalosh, means not a three. A three-cornered garment, then it's Pasuk from tzitzis. Three-cornered, well, because it means it says four, that means not three.
Yeah.
So therefore, Rashi says, for example, let's say you started with a four-cornered garment and you rounded one corner of it, so now it doesn't have four. That's what we do with our kapatas, exactly.
So you don't need
to Yes. How do you know? Maybe when it says four, it means not a five-cornered garment. Now, you could easily make a five-cornered garment, Rashi explains. If you take a four-cornered garment and you cut one of the corners on a diagonal, then you have five corners, two here and then two. You have four corners, one, two, three, four. You cut one of them on a diagonal. So now you have an obtuse angle here, an obtuse angle here. That's two corners. Three more over here. Three more right angles over here. And yeah, you got five corners.
Corner doesn't have to be smaller than 90 degrees?
No.
It's still a corner.
Yeah. So how do we know that maybe the pasuk means a five-cornered garment is pasuk from tzitzis? No, true. I'm asher b'chasaba. No, because the pasuk continues that you cover yourself with harei balas kol meshomer. Then that means, or that includes, that comes to include a five-cornered garment. It means four, but not less. So hamani mekayim arba. That's, we're going to figure it out. Listen, let's read the braisa and we'll see. So, when the pasuk continues, that you cover yourself with, which is an extra word in the pasuk, because we know that clothing you cover yourself with. Therefore, how did balas chomesh amur? Then we see that includes a five-cornered garment, because you also cover yourself with it. So, ha'mani makayim arba. So, what do we do with the pasuk that said four? As we said, arba v'lo shalosh. It means four, not less, not three. Umar ra'isa l'rabas balas chomesh alahoti balas shalosh. So, what's the logic to say that we should include a five-cornered garment and make it chayiv in tzitzis, and passer a three-cornered garment? What's the logic? If we have a ribui in the pasuk and we have a miut, how do we know which one each one applies to? The answer is marbani balas chomesh. We'll say that the ribui applies to the five-cornered. Sheyesh b'cha chomesh arba, because five includes four. A five-cornered garment has four corners, and it has more than four corners. We'll exclude the three-cornered garment because three does not include four. So logically, if we have a ribui in the pasuk and we have a miut, the ribui has to include anything that has four corners or more. And we would exclude anything that does not have four corners. Maybe when it has three.
The problem is the pasuk says four and four is not five.
But four is included in five. Anything that has five corners automatically has four corners. So therefore,
four is never five.
But we have a ribui and we have a miut. If we have to apply the ribui to one case and the miut to another case, it's logical to apply to the ribui to a case where it has at least where it has more than four.
The ribui is
asher dechatabah that you clothe yourself with it.
We don't need that.
Yeah.
And the miut.
Okay. The miut is that it says arba. That says arba, implying but no other number. Yeah. Okay. So that's one braisa. V'tanya ida. Now we learn in another braisa. When it says al arba kantas suscha, that's the second braisa says no. It means davka four. Arba v'lo shalosh, arba v'lo chomesh. It means not three and not five. So what's the underlying machlokas between the braisas? My lav v'ha kamitzvi. So shouldn't we say that this is the point of argument between the braisas?
One says four is four.
Demar sover yeser kaman de'isei dami. The one braisa would hold that the extra thing is considered as if it exists. So therefore, in other words, he would say that the fact of the matter is it has a fifth corner and five is not four. Therefore it has to be pasuk because the pasuk is saying only four. Umar sava kamanda lesser jami. Whereas the other opinion, the first braisa, would say that we ignore the fifth corner. We say the fifth corner, since it's extra, is considered as if it didn't exist, and therefore we consider as if it's a four corner garment. Applying that to the case of the soinus over there, whether he folded it up or not. So again, where he didn't fold it up, rather, where we were shalim, where it's dragging on the floor. Apparently, the first braisa would say the extra part that's dragging on the floor, we ignore. We consider that it fits in, and we ignore that extra part. It's still the same thing, ignoring or not ignoring an extra piece of fabric. Whereas the second braisa would say we can't ignore it. It's there, and therefore it's no good, because it's not midoy. So then that we would say then, that would be the subject
that's
of this machlokes. On the face, yeah. No, so the Gemara says no. That's not the proper way to understand the machlokas. De kula alma kamanda isei jami. You could say that both of these braisas regarding tzitzis agree that something extra, we do consider that it's there. So therefore, in this case, the fact is the thing does not have four corners, it has five, and applying that to the big kahuna. So we mean that on the face of it, both of them should be saying that it's potter, except that one of them is going to have a special reason to say by tittis that it's chayev nevertheless. Applying that to the big dikuna, it would mean that if it's too long, both braises would agree it's potter. Which, by the way, would contradict what Shmuel said before, because Shmuel said before that if they're too long, it's kosher, which was like the original braise that we brought. Okay, so Mephoshim bring up different possibilities, including that maybe it's different by tittis versus big kahuna. In general, we have a concept when it comes to things involving kodshim that it has to be shana all of our kodshim la'akiv. The pasuk has to repeat something twice in order for it to be ma'akiv. Here, you don't have that; it says twice. You have a couple of different explanations to distinguish between them. But whatever it is, the point is that the shiny hacha. So it's different in this case with tittis. The Rabbi Rachmana Asher Techasaba, because the fact is you have the ribui from the word Asher Techasaba, which the first braisa is learning from it, that therefore it includes the five corners on it, whereas we have no such ribui when it comes to the big zikorna. So therefore, when it comes to the big zikorna, yes, over long big zikorna, we're going to be strict and we're going to say it's possible. Unless, again, maybe, unless we're going to say maybe that has shana all of our costs of la'akiv, maybe we say that's a special case, but whatever, the point is that the big zikahuna are out of the picture, because you don't have anything explicit to tell us that too much fabric is okay. Whereas by tittis, you do have, Asher Techasaba teaches us that's the ribui. Okay.
We still consider the miyut?
We're considering the miyut, that's what we're excluding three-cornered garments from. Okay, the idach, fine. If we learn it that way, then what is the second braita doing? However we learn it, what is the second braita doing with the ribui from Asher Techasaba? If he's saying that it doesn't apply to five-cornered garments, the answer is Mevorah L'Chedetanya. He needs it to teach us the following din that we learn in a braita. When the pasuk says, Re'isem Oyster, the pasuk says that you should see it, tittis, means Prakos Sus Laila, means as opposed to clothing of the night. And here you have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh, by the way, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch. When we say clothing of the night, do we mean any kind of piece of clothing that you're wearing at night, which is how the Rambam learns it? Or the Rosh would learn that it means davka, the kind of clothing that is specifically made to wear at night, like pajamas. So according to the Rambam, in other words, it would come out, if you're taking, let's say, a talus and wearing it by night, then it's not chayav in this. According to the Rosh, it would be, because it's something normally worn by day. And according to the Rambam, the other way around, if it was pajamas and you wore them by day, then you'd be chayav in tittis, because it doesn't matter whether they're made for night or not. Right now they're being worn by day. And according to the Rosh, you wouldn't be chayav in tittis on pajamas regardless, because they're made to wear by night, even though you happen to be wearing them during the day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, according to the Rambam, you would.
According to the Rambam, you would, because it depends on the time of day you're wearing them, not the time of day they're made. Yeah.
So one says it's the garment, the other one says it's the time.
Okay. Anyway, fine. Continues the braita. How do you know? Maybe the pasuk is telling you that clothing of a blind person is pasuk from tittis because he can't see it. No, because since the pasuk says that you have to put tittis on clothing with which you cover yourself, so that is a ribui for the clothing of a blind person. This is according to the other braita, the one who said that a five-cornered garment is pasuk. He's using this for this purpose. Ha mani makayim reisimoy. So what do we do with the pasuk reisimoy? So that you should see it means, as we said at the beginning, prophet kofayla means as opposed to night clothing. And again, umara isol the rabbis susumo lahitik kofayla. Again, what makes you say that we should include clothing of a blind person and make it chayiv for this and pater clothing and pater night clothing? Again, we have a ribui and we have a miut. But what makes us be marba one thing and the miut the other thing?
We could reverse it.
We could have argued that it means night clothing is chayev. Night clothing is chayev and a blind person's clothing is possible. The answer is marban iksusuma. We will logically include clothing of a blind person. Sheyeshna b'ri'ya eitzel acherim, because he can't see it, but other people can see it. Umoitzian iksus laila. It's more logical to exclude night clothing. She'eina b'ri'ya eitzel acherim, because nobody can see it because it's dark at night. So therefore, so if we have a ribui and a miut, then it's logical to apply the ribui to a blind person's clothing and the miut to night clothing. Okay. So the point is,
you don't make a bracha on talis kasim.
Once you start wearing a talis gadol, you don't make a bracha on talis kasim, because you make the bracha on talis gadol and that passes it before you.
You have to have it in mind.
Yeah, you're supposed to have it in mind when you make a bracha on talis gadol. Yeah.
To have the talis kasim.
Yes. Okay. Okay, so we have, in other words, again, according to the Tana of the second Braita, who said that a five-cornered garment is pasuk from Tzitzit, so he doesn't use the words Asher Tachasabal to teach us a five-cornered garment. He instead uses it to teach us that a blind person's clothing is chayav in Tzitzit. Okay, the Idach, what about the first Braita? What would he say to that? He agrees with that din, after all, that a blind person's clothing is chayav in Tzitzit. If he's already using Asher Tachasabal to teach us a five-cornered garment, where is he getting the blind person's garment? The answer is Nachgalem Asher. He'll say that we can learn that from the fact that it says asher techasaba, where the word asher is extra. It's quoted to say, well, I have a concept of techasaba. The idach, where the second braisa, asher lo jodish. The second braisa is you can't darshan anything extra from the word asher. It's the style of the yeah. So the bottom line is we have two different ways of learning it, but the point is, as far as the relevance to our sugya, not necessarily can we say that these braisas are arguing on the question of too long bigda kohuna. They both might agree that too long bigda kohuna, so dragging on the floor, are in fact possible, like Ram says, not like Shmuel says.
By the way, the Derech Agav, does a blind person have to put on tzitzit?
Yeah, that's what we're, why not?
It seems that
you have an opinion in the Gemara and Baba Tama that says that blind people are possible to call mitzvah Tamuras Vatara. However, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah over there. The halacha is not like that. Yeah. Gemara actually mentions over there that Rabbi Yosef says, and Rabbi Yosef, as we know, was blind. He says, I used to think that if the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda, that would be a very, very good thing because like this, I'm doing mitzvahs even though I'm not commanded to. Later on, I realized it's better actually if the halacha is like a chachamim because that makes me a mitzvah voicer. That makes that I get the greater tzchar for mitzvahs than I'm a mitzvah voicer. I'm commanded and I do them rather than I'm just doing them voluntarily. Okay. Getting back to the big dekorona, Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa. Now the pasuk describes that by a number of the big dekorona, it uses the word bad.
Yes.
So what does the word bad mean? Now, the word bad, is the simple meaning of it is shiyush obut. What? Bad, right. So we're going to get to that. Right. Okay. Bad means, number one, shiyush obut. Number one, bad means the material. They have to be made out of linen. Because that's bad. The simple meaning of bad is linen. Another meaning, bad shiyush chadoshim. It also means they should be new, which means they should be like they, as similar as possible to they were, as to what they were when they were first woven out of the linen. Furthermore, bad, and as we said before, if they're worn, then b'dieved, they're kosher, but l'chachila, they're supposed to be new. Bad shiyush shazurim, another meaning of the word bad, and we're going to see, the Gemara is going to explain soon how exactly we're learning all these things from the same word, but we'll get to that soon. Bad also means shiyush shazurim, that the thread used to make the big dekona should be twined out of a number of fibers. You shouldn't just have, in other words, that you use one single fiber to make a thread. You have to twist them together out of multiple threads. And bad shiuchutan kapul shisha. Furthermore, we can also learn from the word bad that it actually means it has to be a 6-ply thread. And we'll see soon. And bad shalay yubash shalchoy limahen. That's the big dekona we're talking about. Also, the word bad teaches us shalay yubash shalchoy limahen. It also means that he's not allowed to wear some other non-kohen clothes with them. Now, you mentioned bad bavadiyah, where one of the meaning, the word bad has a number of meanings. One of them, as the Gemara is going to talk about soon, means alone. So bad bavadiyah means like that, but they should each be alone. They should be the proper weight. Each one should be the same weight as all the other ones. And
that
means that they should all be equal weight. But the word
may be equal weight depending on the same material.
We're talking about the bad bavadiyah is in connection with the Keturah, whereas we say in Peter Makturah, those four that I mentioned in the passage are all bad bavadiyah, which is 70 mana. That's what I mean. So again, the word bad has a number of meanings. It means linen. It also means alone. So therefore, from alone, we get that the big dekona should be alone. They shouldn't be combined together with big dekona. Okay.
And
bad bavad and bad teret means they should each be individually equal in weight. Yeah. Okay. Shivim is for each one of them. Shivim of Tzori, Shivim of Tzipora, and Shivim of Chelbana, and Shivim of yeah. Okay. Omalei Abai a little bit. I don't understand how we're learning all these things from the one word. I can understand that when the Braisa says that we learn that the big dick won't have to be made out of linen, Hokamash Malon booth in Midiachrin Aloy. It means the big dekona dafka has to be made out of linen, no other material. In fact, actually, you actually have three sets of big dekona. You have the big dekona of a regular kohen, you have the ones of the kohen gadol, and you have the ones that the kohen gadol wears on Yom Kippur. When it comes to the ones of Yom Kippur, everybody agrees that all four of his begadim are made strictly out of linen, nothing else. When it comes to when it comes to the Kohen Hedyot, you actually have a machloikas whether his avnate is made only out of linen or whether it's made with wool as well, with colored wool as well. And then with the Kohen Gadol, his year-round avnate is definitely made with both wool and linen, with colored wool as well
as well,
but not the Yom Kippur one, right? So what we're saying over here is that there's a three other begadim of the Kohen Hedyot, and according to one opinion, the avnates of the Kohen Hedyot, and everybody agrees, the four of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur should only be made out of linen and nothing else. Fine. El bad shiyu chadoshim, but you're telling me that we're learning from the word bad that it means they have to be new, implying chadoshim ein shchokim loy, so it's only kosher if they're new, not if they're old, not if they're worn out. V'atani m'shchokim kshedim, but we learned in the Braisa and Amar Aleph that if the clothes are worn out, then it's kosher. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers him, v'litaymet, new according to your own svara that you asked me on that. What about bad shiyu chutam kofel shisha? What about when the word bad implies that they have to be six fibers of linen twisted together? What do you mean? Bad chad chad l'chodim mashma. The word bad means individually. So how are you darshaning from that? That it means a six-fold one. Yeah. Ela hachikama. No, what it means is, what the braisa means is like this. Begodim shenema behen bad, regarding the begodim about which it says the word bad, regarding the begodim which it says bad, srichen shiyu shabut chadoshim shazurin, shiyechotan kapul shisha, then they're supposed to be made out of linen, they're supposed to be new, they're supposed to be twisted threads, they're supposed to be six-ply threads, but not all these things are on the same level. Yeshman la mitzvah, yeshman la akiv. Some of these details are the mitzvah. They're not b'dievet. If you didn't do them, then they're kosher. Some of them are active. Some of them, if they're not done, then it makes them completely possible. So for example, the fact that it has to be linen, that's a given. It has to be linen. It can't be anything else. But as opposed to chadoshim, as we just said, they don't have to be new. If they're old, if they're worn out, they're still kosher. So that's b'dievet, they're kosher. The shizurim. And chotem kafel shisha. So the Rambam learns also. Shazurim means that the threads are twisted. They're not just one. They're not just single ply threads. They're twisted, and specifically that they're twisted out of sticks. So actually, what it is now you have by most of the big de kahuna, most of the big de kahuna, which it says are made out of linen. Usually, the pasuk besides the word bad also at some point uses the word sheish mashla. Sheish is another word for linen, but sheish also means stick. So that's where we learn that it has to be a six-ply thread, and mashzer means twisted, that it has to be twined together. So when it says sheish mashzer by them, then it means that it has to be that way. As opposed to, for example, the mechnasayim, it only says that the mechnasayim has to be bad. It doesn't say anything, it doesn't say by them sheish mashzer. And in fact, the halacha is, and the Rambam mentions it in Hilchos Klei Mikdash, that l'chatchila they're also supposed to be made out of a six-ply thread, but for d'eved, if they were woven out of one ply linen thread, then they're still kosher.
Because
it doesn't say sheish marsha.
How do we know that then it doesn't say it still has to be sheish?
So l'chatchila it's supposed to be, because all of them are supposed to be that way, but l'chatchila, all of them are supposed to be that way, but for d'eved. So now we have to ask, mimai dahai bad kitnahu, how do we know that the word bad means linen specifically?
Well,
how do we know?
Yeah.
In modern Hebrew, actually, they use the word bad to mean cloth. No, and in modern Hebrew, they use the word bad in general to mean cloth or fabric. So how do we know that it's fine? How do we know that in Torah terminology it means that the linen? Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, because it means dogra olam and akaka bad bad. It means it has to be something that grows from the ground individually. Namely, you have flax, which is what you make linen from, grows an individual stalk. You don't have it; doesn't branch out like most plants do.
It's just
one stalk that has the linen fibers, that has the flax fibers in it. Which actually, Tosfos brings up the point that hemp also grows that way.
Hemp is what exactly?
It's a plant. I mean, there are certain varieties of it they make marijuana from, but then they have ones that they also make rope and various other and whatever. But it also grows singly. So okay, Tosfos points out, first of all, we know in general from other places that whenever the Torah mentions clothing, unspecified, it always means wool and linen. It always means either wool or linen. So therefore, the Gemara is not even entertaining the possibility that it could be hemp, because that's not either wool or linen. Also, Tosfos says that not necessarily you could have that. It's true that hemp grows in single stalks, but you may have several stalks that grow from one seed, as opposed to flax. Each individual seed produces one and only one stalk. Okay. Thank you.
Whereas hemp,
you may have that one seed produces several stalks. One seed produces several stalks. All right, anyway. Fine. So you want to ask Ema Amra, fine, but you can ask maybe Bad means wool, because wool also grows as single fibers of wool on the animal.
Okay.
The answer is Amra Mistel. The answer is yes, but wool also splits. While it's growing on the animal, it develops split ends. So one fiber of wool ends up splitting. So it's not a bad, exactly. Question is kitnanam mistel. Okay, but the question is, doesn't linen do the same thing? When you start out, how do you make linen out of flax? You crush the stalk. You take out the fibers and divide them into many fibers. You have many fibers, right? Yeah. The answer is ayudel kusam. Yes, but how do you get it into fibers is by pounding on it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, naturally, it remains one fiber. As opposed to wool, which naturally, while it's on the animal, divides into develops split ends. Different explanation that some of the Mephoshim say is lakusa can also mean only if the flax has been damaged by disease or drought or whatever, only then does it naturally split while it's growing. Other than that, otherwise, if it's healthy flax, it grows as one thing. Interestingly, the Mephoshim Habboina on Ein Yaakov points out that he says that a deeper idea behind this may be that the Torah is insisting that the biggest one be made out of flax, right, to represent axes. So he says, what about we see? Unfortunately, the Jewish people are divided. But he was saying, based on the Gemara over here, what divides us is the pounding, is all the harassment and everything that we go through in Gullah. Or according to the second explanation, the diseases and whatever. If things went normally, if things were the natural way, you would be like a flax plant, all united. So therefore, yeah.
I mean, it's true, but we still have current living as well.
Those are distinctions, fine, but the distinctions don't necessarily have to give rise to machloekas. The fact that, unfortunately, we're talking about machloekas, unfortunately, is caused by external factors.
Yeah, that is true.
Okay. All right. Ravina Omameh, but Ravina says I have a different source to tell you that bad, whereby the Brigid Kahuna means flax. Means linen. Pasuk in Yechezkel, Pare Pishtim Yuaroshim, the Pasuk in Yechezkel describes, the clothes of the Kohanim, they should have linen turbans on their heads, and there the word Pishtim clearly means linen. Or Michnese Pishtim Yuamosneim, they should have... Pare means glorious, Moloshin Pe'er, but it means a turban, which is put on very beautifully. Yuaroshim should be on their head. Or Michnese Pishtim Yuamosneim, and they should have linen breeches, linen pants on their waist. Lo yachru bayoza, they should not gird themselves, they should not put a belt around their waist where there is sweat, which the Gemara is going to discuss soon, and at this point I guess we'll get to tomorrow what exactly that detail means. We'll get to it at the bottom of the article. But the point is that he clearly says the word pishtim, which means flat. So that's that. It means linen.
That's a sword.
Yeah. Omolet of Ashi the Ravina, however, of Ashi as Ravina. Okay, but if you're only learning it from a pasuk in Yechezkel, until Yechezkel came along, where do we know this halacha from? That's big to go and have to be that's a flat. Have to be that's a linen.
In any case, we're not supposed to
learn. We're not supposed to learn from Nevi'im anyway. That's also true, right? So he answers, "V'litai meich, nu, according to your own svara that you're asking the question, what about Hoda Amar of Chista? What about this that Rav Chista says, which we more quotes in a few places in Shas, Dover Zemitodas Moshe Rabbeinu Lelamandu, the following halacha that we're going to say now, we do not know explicitly from the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, Midibri Yechezkel ben Buzi Lelamandu, and we only learn it explicitly from the words of Yechezkel ben Buzi, namely the halacha that he says over there that's spoken, Kol ben necher erel lev erel baser. Any foreigner, meaning a zor or a goy, it means somebody who acted in a foreign way to Hashem, either erel lev, either that he's uncircumcised in his heart, namely that he's a rasha who worships over the zara, or the erel baser, or he's an oral in his flesh, meaning that he didn't have a mirah. Both of those, la yavay amikdashi, neither of them are allowed to come to my basement, in the Pasuk, whatever. And the fact is, as we're going to learn later on, as we learned in our Mishnah briefly, and we're going to discuss the Gemara later on in a couple of blocks, that both of those, an Erol Lev and Erol Boser, if they do the Avodah, are Mechal of it. So you also have to ask the same question, Ad Shabbat Yechezkel Menolam. So where did we know this concept from before Yechezkel came along? If we're saying we didn't have it explicitly in the Torah, then how can we learn it from Yechezkel?
But we consider, I mean, Israel and Levim consider Sarim.
No, that's true. But Zorim, it says in the Pasuk, but it never says in the Pasuk in Chumash anything about Erol Lev Erol Basar, that a Kohen worships of a Zara or a Kohen who is an Oral, for example, Meisurach HaMachmas Milah, that they shouldn't be able to do the Avodah. So where do we know it from? We can't learn from Yechezkel. Ella, no, the answer must be Gemara Gemirila. They had it as a Kabbalah. They had it as Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. That these people are possible. But also Yechezkel, V'af Mechakra. Then came along Yechezkel, and he gave us a Pasuk from which we can see it more explicitly. So the Yechezkel is not the source of the din, because a Novi can't be the source, Moshe Rabbeinu can't be the source. He just wrote down a din. He wrote down a din that had been Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai for 1,000 years before him. Hachanami, the same thing over here, as far as that we know that linen is to be used for the Beit Hakona. Same thing. Gemara Gemara Lachol, the same thing. We had the Kabbalah, that Bad means linen, and then Yechezkel came and said it explicitly, and it was written down in the Pasuk that way.
Why did we have to wait until Yechezkel said it?
Because up until that point, it was learned Kabbalah, it was learned Ishmefiyish, for as Halachim Mishnah.
Right? So
that's what we're saying. He's the source.
He's
the one who revealed it. Basically, that existed for 900 years before him, since Matan Torah. Okay. So we'll stop here. I guess we didn't quite get to the thing about the Persians. So I guess we'll leave that for tomorrow. That's a shame.
What is it about the Persians?
Oh, yeah.